That's a good guess.
Okay, we have it. We got it back. You got it back, yeah. So I. Yes. Can you hear me? Is this on? Okay. At the invitation of UN Habitat, we've been working for the past 3 years in three urban slum communities outside Nairobi on the health and well-being of orphans and vulnerable children. The central task was to help the communities of Mululongo, Sophia, and Bondeni to improve the health and well-being of the children under 5 years of age. And working with the health committees of these communities, about population of 10,000, we reached agreement on the following interventions: growth monitoring, immunizations, insecticide-treated bed nets, hand washing, nutritional supplements, caregiver-child interactions, and home-based care to people living with AIDS. To obtain a database for the communities, we developed a health survey of children under 5 years of age with the help of the African Population and Health Research Center in Nairobi. We modified the tool that had been used by APHRC to suit the under five survey. All households in the three selected communities with children under five were interviewed. And we collected data on the demographics of the population, general health of the child, recent illnesses and care sought, family use of bed nets, hand washing habits, health card information connected with age and weight and immunization status, nutritional status, and caregiving rating of the child. Now, because of the time constraints, I will focus on several survey results and the follow-up activities that community health workers undertook to reach the goals we hope to accomplish. There were 1,720 children whose caregivers were interviewed for this and distributed over those three communities. Now, we see here that about 40% of the children were under two, and the other 60% between 2 and 5 years of age, and it sort of equal distribution of male and female. These parents came from rural areas to the slum of Nairobi to get better jobs. So they are young couples, and so they're most of the children we interviewed had either no siblings or one. And that presented not the siblings, but the fact that they were there on their own without extended family presents problems. Now, the health status was, as you see there, 40%, they said was good, and 40% not so good, and a number of poor. However, between 60 and 70% of the children had been ill the previous 2 weeks, with the most usual conditions that are prevalent in all slum areas: respiratory tract infection, diarrhea, malaria, fever, and then other illnesses. And over 90% of them were treated for this illness, which is, I think, quite interesting, because most of them had to pay, although they went to health facilities, either the health center, a hospital, a private clinic, and almost none of them went to traditional healers or herbalists. Now, these are some of the issues that we wanted to find out about, whether or not they were using bed nets. Every child is given a bed net when it first goes to the clinic after it's brought there after it's born. And so most of the families had bed nets, but they were old, worn, and had lots of holes in them. And so although they said they used them, it has to be that it was there. And also they said that all the children, 90% of the children were using them every night, and we know that just wasn't true. As far as hand washing, you see that 20% didn't wash their hands daily. That doesn't mean they never washed their hands, but they didn't do it on a regular basis. Then we asked, does a child have a health card? Every child is given a health card when they first go for their immunizations. I'm sure you've seen them. It has immunizations on one side and that road to health, that age and weight, so that you can tell the weight on there. And they practically all of them said, yes, can I see the health card? Well, that was another situation. Half of them could not find the card. The husband said, well, my wife knows where that is. I don't know. Well, we left it up at Granny's house in the rural area. They had lots and lots of excuses, but the fact was that half of them did not have their health card. So we could only use the 820 that we could look at to see whether the immunizations were complete. And of those, 63% were. And as far as weight, 72% of those were normal weight. And interesting that 14% were overweight. This is always a surprise, a very poor community. Now, then we asked if the children over 2 usually have enough to eat. We did ask about breastfeeding, but I'm not going to cover that. It got very complicated, and I don't think the data is accurate. And so most of them said that, yes, the children did usually have enough to eat. But when you look at it in another way, did they not have enough to eat food, enough food in the last 6 months? How often? Every day, a few times a week, a few times a month, once a month or less, or they always had enough to eat. And I think those figures are quite interesting. Now, what did we hope to accomplish with this? We had to add this one, substantially increase the prevalence of health cards from the database found in the survey. We had thought they would all have their health cards. So we had the community health workers in the 3 communities work on this. Now, Mulolongo is a community that's 20 minutes bus ride from the health center. And so those people don't go very often. And it costs almost a day's wage on the bus to go to the health center and back. Sophia and Bondeni within walking distance. And so what we did was we got the nurse to come to the Mulolongo to on a regular basis, and then the health cards, they were able to get health cards and immunizations, and the other ones were encouraged to go to the health center. So we then wanted to raise the percentage of completed immunizations from what is usual in a slum setting, 44%, to the 60%, which was the national average. And so, as I say, we had the nurse come to the Mulolongo, and the community health workers encouraged the others. And so our project coordinator reports that 55 to 60% of the 2-year-olds have immunizations complete in Mulolongo, so we're happy about that. And then the other community health workers encouraged the mothers to go and get their immunizations complete. Malnutrition was another issue, and we were trying to decrease the prevalence from 35% to 20%. And we continued with our growth monitoring and food supplements. And the underweight children did decrease from 35 to 25%. However, 15% of children did not improve, even after being provided with food supplements. CHWs continue to give the families food supplements and weigh the children. It usually takes about 1 month to attain normal weight if they're underweight. Now, some reasons for the continued underweight, which is something that should be pursued, is there an underlying illness? The child refuses the food supplement, doesn't like the taste, or for whatever reason, won't eat it. Food supplements are used by the family more than the child. Food supplements are being sold. When you're in a very poverty situation and you need some extra money, that's a way to do it. Or there might be an insecure caregiver-child attachment. And that whole issue will be discussed by Jack tomorrow in his presentation. Now, the other issue was hand washing. And we were looking for a substantial increase in hand washing over that 8-month period. And so we encouraged through community education and individual education for them to do that. And we provided soap. It's all right to tell people to wash their hands, but it's the soap that is really the most beneficial. And the World Bank has a huge project on hand washing with soap around the world now. But if you can't afford it, then it becomes a problem. And we did provide soap. No, we do provide soap. And diarrhea, we're trying to reduce that from the usual of a slum of 42% to 20%. And again, this had to do with hand washing and using oral rehydration solution. So when you take those two things together, our follow-up of hand washing and diarrhea, the community health workers encourage caregivers to drink clean water and practice hand washing with soap. And the prevalence of diarrhea has decreased substantially. But we have not been able to do an actual survey. We don't have the resources like we did to get the beginning results. This is from the papers that are handed in by the community health workers. And the caregivers have received ORS and are educated about it. And our project coordinator notes that she feels that the cases of diarrhea have gone down because the requests have dropped from 50% of the people to 20%. So that's a good sign. Then we have malaria and fever. And that is very prevalent also, even though Nairobi is supposed to be a malaria-free zone, but with all the stagnant water and they're going back and forth to the rural areas, there is a lot of malaria. And we encourage mothers to seek health care for their children with fever, to use the bed nets, to do regular hand washing. One problem has to do with the health centers where they get treatment, but they do not test for malaria, blood tests, and they only give something to reduce the fever. So you're not really treating malaria as such. So that is a problem. Now, there was a big increase in the use of bed nets because we were able to hand out 465 long-lasting insecticide-treated bed nets that were given supplied to the Ministry of Health by USAID, and that has helped a lot. Those bed nets last for 5 years, so that takes care of the child in this whole area that we're talking about, whereas the other ones had to be re-dipped every 6 months, and nobody had that done. Okay. Now we continued education about bed nets, and 75% of caregivers are responding to good use of bed nets after instruction by the CHWs. Cough and colds is another problem because of the possibility of pneumonia and tuberculosis. And we followed that up, and that has been reduced 42% to 20%, and they're getting more treatment from the mobile clinic that just came about this year. Caregiver-child interactions will be taken, we discussed at a later tomorrow during that program. And that's when Jack will be doing that at 10:30 in room 28D. Now, all these issues are very kind of mundane and not very exciting, but they're really quite important, and that's one of the things I wanted to point out to you. Malnutrition contributes greatly to child mortality, and stunting is very prominent in sub-Saharan Africa. Immunizations, the children under five, prevents numerous diseases. Promoting the use of and making available these bed nets reduces the cases of malaria. Malaria causes 13% of child mortality, and severe cases cause neurological and cognitive impairment. Hand washing prevents, interrupts the transmission of disease agents, and so can significantly reduce diarrhea and respiratory infections. WHO estimates that diarrhea and respiratory tract infections are responsible for two-thirds of child deaths. And the nutritional supplements to reduce malnutrition and the micronutrients, and we do a lot of teaching about those in our program. Now, in summary, I'd like to say that a comprehensive follow-up by CHWs of children under five with specific health needs, including incomplete immunization records and nutritional deficiencies, has resulted in up-to-date health cards for almost all children, distribution of these 465 bed nets, weekly food supplements to children underweight of age for age, substantial increase in completed immunizations, and education and promotion of hand washing, including distribution of soap to reduce diarrhea and other infectious diseases. And these findings and recommendations are shared with the Government Health Department to enable continued collaboration. Thank you very much.
Oops.
Okay. Thanks very much, Nancy. Our next speaker is Shira Gitoma. She's going to talk about community-driven, the success of the health centre model.